Take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter number 24. Joshua chapter number 24. I'm glad for the goodness of the Lord. The Lord's good?
All the time.
He's good. There's no doubt about that. That's what a blessing is to know the goodness of the Lord. He's been gracious to us, has let us live to see another day. And has gave us, yesterday was just a beautiful day. Appreciate those that came and went and visited. We had a good time out visiting. Appreciate that. And had one to call. Mentioned they might come in and be with us today. Appreciate those that did visit, that are visiting with us today. Always good to have visitors. Amen. We just thank the Lord for that. All righty. Joshua chapter number 24. Now, you know our theme this year. Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And he said, then said I, here am I, send me. And so we went, so, you know, our theme is use me. Who's willing to raise up their hand and say, use me? There's a time in Joshua's life. We see Joshua. Joshua was the son of the tribe of Ephraim. We see Joshua as he was born in bondage in Egypt. And then we see Joshua as he was delivered. You know, Moses led him out, and he became a soldier of the mighty army of God. And what a soldier he was. We find that he was a servant, loyal to Moses. I mean, he became a servant. He was loyal to Moses and was what we call Moses' second right hand, if you will. I mean, he was the right hand of Moses. He was the second man in charge. And I'm talking about Joshua. But the Bible tells us in the first of Joshua that it finally came a time that who died? Moses died.
Yeah.
And you know what Joshua had to say? Use me. Joshua had to say, use me. And we know he was that faithful spy that went into the, spied out the land. He came back out and 10 of the spies said, oh, we can't take the land. The giants are too big. And Joshua looked, he said, hey, we can take the land. The giants are too little. Amen. You're not comparing them to our God. How true that is. Amen. They got their eyes on the wrong one. They got the eyes on the giant, not the eyes on God. And so he was the one that believed God. And as we find out, finally he leads the children of Israel in. And he's a great statesman. He divides the land, sets up the tabernacle. But in our text, in Joshua chapter 24, we see he's got down to his latter years. He's an old man. He's fixing to die. And he's a spokesman for God.
Right.
He's a spokesman for God. And I just want you to let you realize, look at verse number 14. The Bible says, now therefore fear the Lord. Joshua is saying to his people, he's talking to the whole congregation. He's charging Israel as a spokesman for God. You know, that's really what we all are here today.
Right.
That's what we're supposed to be, a witness. A spokesman for God. And so here he says in verse number 14, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And then notice this statement, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, God, you'll help us in the next few minutes. I pray, God, for your anointing. God, we thank you for all those that are visiting with us today. We thank you for our faithful people that are here. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to say, here I am, send me, use me, God. And God, I pray this morning, I submit myself to you. I ask you to use me. I ask you, Father, to touch hearts here today. Show them their need of salvation. If there be one here not saved, I pray you'll save them before it's eternally too late. God, I pray you'll strengthen the Christians today. May you encourage us. And God, may we step forward in this year 2017 and say, use me, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
Amen.
We'll notice a statement in verse number 15 where I take my text. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Life is full of choices.
Amen.
Your whole life is going to be full of choices. You made a choice this morning. I'm glad you did. And you made the right choice. You decided to get up this morning and get ready and come to the house of the Lord. No, far as I know, there might have been a few young people that maybe came by gunpoint. But even that, far as I know, everybody came here on your own free will. You got in your automobile and nobody made you come to Philadelphia Baptist Church. You came here on your own free will. You made the right choice. And your whole life is going to be full of choices. These young men up here and these young ladies and the young people sitting in the congregation today. Your life is going to be full of choices. And the choices you make is going to make your life. Your life is going to be determined by those choices. And so we see here, here's Joshua. Joshua came to a place, and this is a needed choice in everybody's life that's sitting here. It's a choice. You're going to have to decide who you're going to serve. You have to decide who you want to serve in your life. So, in Wee Church, there's a bunch of little kids down there in Wee Church, and they're having a good time, and they're doing some things with them. They'll teach them a Bible story, and they'll play games with them, different things. Over in Children's Church, those that are six year olds or older, 7 year six to twelve, they're over there. And Brother Steve Kirkpatrick, who teaches at our Bible college, is probably one of the most knowledgeable men of the Word of God that I know and many knows. And he's over there getting what he does know and bringing it down to their level and trying to preach to them. They'll sing songs. They'll take up an offering. They'll have special singing. Matter of fact, a lot of times when they leave from over there, come over here, they're already ready to sing songs and sing specials. And they tell Brother Mike, we want to sing. Amen? Because they've been used to doing it. What a blessing that is. But really for that group, you moms and dads are sitting here, you've made their choices.
Yeah.
And thank God you have. It's a sad thing before I hear this sometimes. Well, I asked who were so-and-so that. Well, they just chose not to come today. Well, they wouldn't like it at my house. I hate to tell you that. Daddy told me when I was even 20 years old living at home, Daddy told me, he said, son, when I was 18, 19, 20, I was still living at home. Wasn't those a good day? Somebody say amen. But when I was still living at home, Daddy said, now, if you're going to live here, you're going to have to go to the house of God. You got to go to church.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't no decision. We get up and say, I'm going to go or not go in that morning. I mean, if I didn't go, I had to be sick or something bad wrong. Amen. For not to go. But choices. You've been making choices. You young people that are sitting here, you teenagers, your parents are still helping you with those choices. That's true. But it won't be long. You're going to step out. Some of you already stepped out into college. And you're going to make choices for yourself whether you want to come to the house of God.
Yeah.
You're going to make choices for yourself. Life is going to be full of choices.
Yeah.
And Joshua has made this is a very needful choice that he's going to make. And may I say, all the choices that we make in our life, there's consequences for those choices. There's consequences for those choices. There's people sitting in jail today. You know why? They made some wrong choices. Amen. And there's consequences for the choice that they made. There's people, unfortunately, that are in facilities today that are trying to get off addictions.
Yeah.
You know why? They made some poor choices.
Yeah.
It don't make them bad people. They're not terrible people, but they become addicted. They become controlled by something that became greater than them. Something that they can't handle. And they need help with it. But it's because of the choices they made. I say this all the time, and if I continue to pastor here another 15 years, I'll continue to say it. I can tell you how to never be a druggie, how to never be an alcoholic. Never take drugs, never drink alcoholic beverages. And guess what? You will never be that. That's pretty simple, ain't it? I don't know why our government, I don't know why on the news and why they don't report that more often.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know why, because the greed of this world and money runs the world and alcohol, there's a lot of money in alcohol, a lot of money in different things. But anyway, we realize that there's choices. And may I say, this is a real choice. This is a real, I mean, it's going to affect the rest of your life. It's a choice to say, here I am, use me. It's a choice to be used of God. As if it seems evil. Notice, if it seems evil to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Now, you're either going to serve Christ or you're going to serve Satan.
Hey.
Amen. You're either going to serve this old flesh or you're going to serve the Spirit of God. The choice is very easy and it's very real, my friend. Joshua realized, he said, this day There comes a day where you have to make this choice who you're going to serve. This day, and may I say it's a necessity, it's a needful choice, it's a necessity that you make it today. You need to decide this earth. And now, this choice here he's saying is, this serving God is not just service. What he's saying is to give their hearts to God, to give their lives to God, to live their life. Now, we know that we're not saved by our works. We know we're not saved by what we do. But we do those things because we are saved. And so, if you, however you're going to give yourself to, you either give yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ or you give yourself to Satan. The choice is yours. The choice is between Christ the Savior, or Satan the destroyer. The choice is between Christ who loves you, or Satan who really don't care anything about you.
Yeah,
all he wants to do is doom and damn your soul for all eternity in hell. The choice is yours. The decision is made is yours. Jesus said no man can serve two masters.
Yeah.
The Bible says he goes, so you either will hate the one and love the other. Which master will you choose? Hey, this choice is not just between two masters. It's between two deaths.
Yeah.
So if you choose to serve Jesus, guess what? You got life everlasting.
Amen.
The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about death or life here for all eternity. When we think about this choice is being made. The death between the death of righteousness or the death of the wicked. Moses said, I chose, let me die the death of the righteous. How you want to die? You know, the Bible says it is appointed the man wants to die.
Yeah.
And I think I failed to mention it, but Sister Karen and her family, her aunt passed away. And I think she's traveled up there. She's up. On Tuesday, she's traveling up there on Tuesday. So we need to pray for that family. It's just a reality. Matter of fact, when I speak at funerals, sometimes I get the attention of people because at that time they are really living reality. We got all these shows called reality, you know, it's a reality. No, that's reality. That is where death is on our trail. And the Old Testament said there's just a step between us and death. Just a step. What is your life? It's like a vapor. Appear for just a little time. And this choice determines your death.
Yeah.
If we realize this choice determines your judgment, says the point that man wants to die, and after this is a judgment. If you die the death of the righteous, you're going to stand before God one day and be judged in the family judgment. We call it the judgment seat of Christ. Some people call it the Bema seat. Bema judgment. Or there's another judgment you'll stand if you stand lost. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And you not stand there to weigh your deeds and say, hey, you know, I was good enough to get to heaven, or I know I wasn't good enough to get to heaven. No, you're there at that judgment because you're already condemned. And the Bible says it'll be cast into the lake of fire which burneth forever and ever and ever. I'll tell you what, this choice means something. This is a real choice. I mean, this is a real choice. It's a choice between our eternity.
Yeah.
It means everybody in here has an eternal soul.
Yeah.
You know, we're a lot alike. Y'all didn't act like y'all like that, but we are. We're a lot alike.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. Men can be stereotyped to be, you know, we're just a lot alike. Ladies, just a lot alike. Now, there are some differences, and we all have different personalities and different little ways God tweaked us and made us a little bit different and everything. But we're alike in this without any doubt, completely. Everybody in here has an eternal soul.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody in here has an eternal soul. Everybody in here has an eternal destination. Everybody in here is going to spend all eternity somewhere. Now, if you're a Bible believer, if you believe the Bible, which I'm a Bible believer, and I believe the Bible.
Amen.
I believe it to be the pure word of God. Brother Jeff taught that to us this morning, done a good job in our Sunday school class, in TNT class, teaching on the word of God. It's the pure word of God. The Bible teaches us, now I'm not talking about Baptists. Brother Carver, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about really man's teachings, because even though this Bible was written by men, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost of God overseen them. And they only spake as they was moved by the power of the Holy Ghost of God. They pinned down the Word of God. And you say, well, preacher, we don't have the original. I understand that. We don't have what they pinned down. But then the Bible teaches us that God preserved His Word.
Yeah.
And we have a preserved Word. And God overshadowed those that translated this King James Bible. And He preserved us a pure Word.
Amen.
And so, if I believe that Bible talks about a place called heaven.
Amen.
I've got a ticket.
Amen.
That Bible talks about a place called heaven. I've got a personal place over there. That Bible talks about a heaven where there'll be no more sadness.
Amen.
There'll be no more sorrow.
Amen.
There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more Satan.
Amen.
Yeah.
There'll be no more death.
Amen.
And there'll be no more tears.
Amen.
What a place. What a place. What a paradise.
Amen.
And I trust everybody if you got your ticket.
Amen.
Everybody's got your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm already seated in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says we can have.
Amen.
We can know that we're saved. But that Bible also talks about another place. And young men, just as wonderful and just as marvelous heaven is, that other place is that much awful and terrible and unenjoyable. The Bible says there's a place called hell. The Bible says it's a place like outer darkness. You know, and I liken it to like this. You go out on a clear night and you see the stars and around the stars is just pure darkness. That's where the darkness is going to be. You won't be able to see a thing. I don't know if you've ever been to Ruby Falls. And you go down into Ruby Falls. Deborah Fell, when we was going down there, and we started calling it Deborah Falls. But but you get down in there, and we got down in that cave, and they turn all the lights off. And when they turn them lights off, there is one little natural light off, but they turn all the lights off, and you couldn't even see your... I put my hand right there in front, and you couldn't even see it. It's so dark. And then they turn the light on, and you see the falls. It was so dark. I mean, I'm standing right beside Deborah, and I mean, I couldn't even tell she was there. The Bible says there'll be a place where the worm dies not, means you won't die. It'll be a place of torment.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about it'll be a flame there. And you'll be tormented by that flame. It's an awful, awful place. Awful. This choice determines which place you go.
Yeah.
That's how real this choice is. This is how real, and not, it's how real this choice is to you today. Choose you this day. So I don't know if you'll have tomorrow.
Right.
I don't know if you'll have next week.
Yeah.
So, preacher, I'm young. Well, unfortunately, you visit the cemetery. And it won't take you long to read very many of those tombstones, and you'll see people die really young. It's a choice. It's a needed choice. It's a real choice. Notice what their response to this choice was. I didn't read it. Look at verse number 21. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. I hope that would be your response today. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. May I say there's a responsibility that comes with this choice. They responded to this choice, and their responsibilities come to this choice. You have to realize that something's going to have to happen in your life. Look at the next verse. Verse 23. Now therefore, look what he says. Put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Hey, if you're going to make this choice, if you're going to make this choice for salvation, guess what? You're going to have to repent and call upon God and ask Him to save you. But if you're going to make this for service and serving Jesus, you know what you have to do? You have to separate yourself from this world. You have to begin to live for Him and not live for self.
Amen.
Most of the people in our generation is living for self. Most of the times we look at something, we don't want to know what is going to happen. We just want to know what we get out of it. Sure. What I get out of this. What is this for me? Most of the advertisement you see, people say they're trying to sell something. You deserve this. You ought to have this. Well, I don't deserve a $100,000 car. Why? Because I can't afford it. If I had a job that paid me where I could afford a $100,000 car, guess what? I wouldn't deserve a $100,000 car. If y'all want to raise, that's fine. But I don't deserve that. Why? Because I don't do a job that pays for that. Now, I know some people get paid and don't deserve it. But we realize this whole society is geared on what pleases us.
Amen.
But he said, you're going to have to separate yourself. You're going to have to put God. What he's saying is you need to put away those strange gods. This is what we're saying in Georgia language. You're going to have to make God number one.
Amen.
You got to make God number one. There's going to have to be a responsibility. There's a responsibility with this choice. And that is to make God number one in your life.
Yeah.
Joshua realized that they needed to separate themselves. Go back to verse number 14. He said, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. All he's saying is you're going to have to put away your... There may be some sitting in here. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to put away the gods of your families.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to get really strange here for just a second. So y'all hold on. Hear me all the way through. But you know you can make a religion a god.
Yeah.
Amen.
You know you can make a building a god.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just remodeled this building. And to God be the glory, as far as I know. Nobody said, well, you know, hey, we remodeled the building. My aunt so-and-so done that, or my aunt so-and-so built that, or my, as far as I know, that's not me. We even move pews every once in a while. Move them around. You realize that people gets upset and gets mad just because somebody takes something down in the church.
Yeah.
Or tell you, you know, one time in my first pastorate, was getting rid of an organ, and we didn't have an organ player. The organ was old. It was just taking up space, and we was going to get rid of it. But we couldn't get rid of it. You know where it went? It went in the basement. Y'all know I put everything in the basement anyway, but it went in the basement. Not by choice, but because so-and-so had donated in the in the church. And they said, you're learning pastoring, and I was young then, and I learned real fast. There's some things not worth fighting over. And keeping the organ in the building wasn't worth fighting over. So we just put it in the basement. Amen. Wasn't nobody using it. Matter of fact, it was broke. We couldn't even get nobody to fix it. It was so old. And then couldn't even find nobody to fix it. But some people get upset about those things. You make your kids gods.
Yeah.
You make your job a god.
Yeah.
Nobody in here is guilty of this. But you can make yourself a god if you don't watch it.
Yeah.
He said, you're going to have to put away. Now, if we would go back and study the gods before the flood, you'd have to go back and see those gods. And those gods was idols. Those gods was gods. Hey, yeah. Sometimes they would, you know what they did? They would give their own children to the gods. Put them before the fire. I mean, they would sacrifice some of the things most precious to them. He says, you're going to have to put those things away. What he's trying to say is you're going to have to make God number one in your life.
Right.
This morning, I wonder. This is a choice you're going to have to make. Is God number one in your life? You know how you make him number one? First of all, by getting saved. I've already talked about that.
Yeah.
But after you get saved, he still could not be number one in your life, even though he's your Savior. Aren't you glad God's going to let us go to heaven even though we're not perfect?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. But even though we're saved, there's some of us has got gods. Now, I said us. And a God is something that steals away from the Lord being supreme in our life. The Lord being number one, uno in our life. I just wonder, is there something that's hindering you from serving God? Is there something that's came between you? The Bible said in the book of Galatians, you did run well. What hindereth you? Is there something that's beginning to hinder you in your walk with God? Is this, you young people, if you don't watch it, I mean, you're just looking for that, you ladies are looking for that knight in shining armor. Don't talk to these ladies. They'll tell you that armor rusts is real quick. And some of y'all, young men, y'all looking for that. I mean, this Miss America. Y'all just looking for the sweet, beautiful, wonderful girl. You're looking for your princess. And if you don't watch it, that can become your God.
Yeah.
You know what you need to do? You just need to serve God, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and let God give you somebody. Because really, God knows who you need a lot worse than you do.
Yeah.
He knows what to fit you a lot better than you know.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what I was looking for, and I was sitting in church. You know where I met my wife? My wife's sitting over here. Wave at him, honey. She's claiming me like this. But I was sitting in church, and I was in Bible college, and going to Tabernacle, and I was sitting on there's three, Jackie, you know, they're big thing. It was a big church. At that time, they ran over 1,000 people, and boom, boom, boom. And I was sitting on that right-hand side, and I seen this lady. I noticed her, this young girl, young lady, and I watched her all the way across, and she come, and she sat about three or four rows in front of me. And I went home that night and told my mama, I called my mama every Sunday night. Somebody say amen. It's all right to be a mama's boy. I called every Sunday night, and I said, Mama, I'm going to get married. And mama about passed out on the phone. You could just hear her cry. What? I know you've been dating some girls down there, but I didn't know anybody was serious. You wasn't that serious. What do you mean you're going to get married? We ain't even met this girl. What's your name? I said, I don't know. I'll tell you next week. She said, oh. She knew that I was kidding with her. But I wasn't kidding. And next week, next Sunday night, guess what? I sat right behind where she came in and sat. She sat right in front of me, just one pew in front of me, by haps, by perchance. I don't know whose seat I got that night, but I got somebody's seat. And I knew what she was going to. I knew what she was there, where she was going to be at. And I just kind of began to talk to her, and. I told her I'd give her my number and we could talk. And she said, I don't call boys.
Amen.
And so I said, that's fine. That's fine. You give me your number, I'll call you. So she gave me her number and I called her. And I didn't know what I needed. But 27 years later, God knows what I needed.
Yeah.
He knew. Amen. Young people, if you'll just do that, if you'll just serve God, live for God and love God. And I heard somebody over here say what the sermon was. I don't know what the sermon was. I know, but it was from the Bible and Brother Harold Sattler preached, okay? But I was in church. I was in the right place. Amen. I made the right choice. And God put somebody in my life that fit me like a glove. And put somebody in her life that's like a wore out glove. Amen. But says she'll get a greater reward when she gets to heaven than I will. And that was probably the truth. But there has to be a response to it. How will we respond? Will you decide? Will you choose? It's your choice.
Amen.
Brother Ryan, you got two young men sitting up here. And thank God for the choices they've made right now. Thank God for my son, the choices he's made. They're going to have to continue to make choices.
Yeah.
My son's going to have to continue to make choices. They have to continue to do right. Are you going to choose to serve the Lord? Are you going to choose? Are you going to say, use me?
Yeah.
Use me. Use me. Joshua now is an old man fixing to die. God had used him. Because you know what? He'd been faithful. I mean, he was the second man. And God chose him. And he said, okay, Lord, use me. I'll be your leader. I'll be what you want me to be. Moses is dead. If I could put it this way, and I'm not trying to bring up anything bad, but we've had a lot of good people in 15 years, a lot of great men, a lot of godly ladies to pass over to the other side. I remember me and Brother Kevin in his shop. I stopped by there and talked to him every once in a while. He needs a rest, and so I go by and give him a rest. Me and him talked about this very thing. There's a time when people, the younger men of this church, is going to have to step up.
Amen.
We've had some great, wonderful men, great, wonderful, godly women, ladies, that's crossed over to the other side. Some of you have to say, use me. I'm here, Lord. I've been in the shadows. I've been behind. But I need to step up now. And I need to be used. If we're going to continue to do missions like we do and support 121 mission work, guess what? Some of you younger couples are going to have to fall in love with missionaries.
Hey.
You've got to fall in love with the Lord, first of all, and then fall in love with missionaries and be willing to say, hey, I'll give. I'll give of that which I could have here, and I could drive maybe just a little bit better car, or I could maybe do this or do that. But I want to be a part of the work of God. I want to give out that men and women and boys and girls can hear the gospel.
Hey, yeah.
Where they can hear about a Jesus that saves, where they can make the right choices. You know what's so sad, Brother Hub? Is there's a lot of people that's going to live and never even know about the choice. Because you and I have failed.
Yeah.
And I believe America was put here to get the gospel to the world.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And America has failed. Our nation has failed. Mm-hmm. You realize it won't be many more years, and it's already happening. They're sending missionaries over here now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our nation, one nation under God, has swiftly become a heathen nation.
Hey,
yeah.
God help us. Amen. You said, preacher, you don't like America. I love America. Amen. Thank God I live here. Amen. Amen. I'm proud to be an American.
Amen.
But she's not what she should be. There has to be a responsibility. There has to be a response. Look at verse number 14 again. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. That's where we've lost it. The fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And serve Him. Notice this, in sincerity. We got a lot of half-heart service. We got a lot of half-heart service. How many of you are just so excited about getting to the house of God today? You just couldn't wait to get here. Oh, I got to get to church. I can't wait to get there. I got to be there. Half-hearted service. Amen.
Yeah.
How many this morning got up? Oh, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. Let's keep moving on. Okay. He said you're going to have to put away those strange gods. You know the only way you're going to do that is repent. Ask God to forgive you.
Amen. Yeah.
And then lastly, look at verse number 26, and I'm closing. Look at verse number 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. You know what he done? Joshua made a record. Joshua recorded this. This is a recorded choice. Amen. He recorded this choice and he put it near the sanctuary.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. You know God is keeping a record. Y'all did know that, ain't you? God's keeping a record.
Amen.
The Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The Bible said we're going to give account. And we'll give account of the thoughts of our hearts. Our thoughts. We'll give account of the secret things. You're going to stand before God one day. There's a record being kept. He said, I made a record of this day. You're witness. And when I say this, God's records, there's no error.
Hey.
It's right. You're not standing before God and saying, oh, no, God, you don't understand. I served you. There's a group of people in the Bible in Matthew chapter 7 talked about that. They said, didn't we done many mighty works in our name? Haven't we cast out devils in our name? And the Bible says this, Jesus said he never knew them. And can I say Jesus cannot, God cannot lie. It wasn't that he knew them and he forgot them. No, they never did work for him. They never made the right choice. This morning, are you choosing to serve God? Or have you backed out, backed up on that? Is there a day you've been closer to God? Is there a day you was doing more for God? Now, I know some of you, you're getting on up in years, and you can't come down here and do the things you used to come. But you know whether you're close to God spiritually like you should be. Can I get an amen from our seniors? You know that. You know whether you're where God wants you to be. You may not can do the tasks, but you can still be true to the truth. You still be a testimony. You still pray. You still talk to God. How about it? What's your choice today? It's going to be recorded. Seven-year-old little boy, Rose Chapel, in Stevenson, Alabama, I walked down an aisle, told God I was a sinner and asked God to save me. But Stringer, God put a record there. He recorded that as a record. As a 20-year-old boy in Valley Town Baptist Church on a Sunday morning, while the choir was singing, I'll Be a Friend to Jesus, I walked down the aisle, bowed on this side of an altar, church, same size as this church, maybe just a little bit bigger. Told God I hadn't been a friend to him. I hadn't done what he'd asked me to do. But Tony, I told him I hadn't been right with him. I rededicated my life. Told him I was sorry. And told him, whatever you want me to do. And I knew what he wanted me to do, Brother Derek. He wanted me to preach. And I stood back up. I told that crowd that morning, I'd rededicated my life to God. I'd been away from God for a little bit of time. And I knew God wanted me to preach. Brother Randy, he recorded that.
Yeah.
And he's still recording day in and day out. There's a record being kept. How's the record? What's your choice? We're standing, our heads are bowed, Brother Mike's ready to sing.
Our gracious God in heaven, in Jesus' name, we do thank you for the good day you've blessed us with. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, mercies, and grace, and for strength, life, and health today. And thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear the preaching of your word, and to sing the songs of Zion. Father, we pray that you would help us as your children, Father, just to be closer to thee and to be used of you, Father. We pray for our church. We thank you for it. Thank you for our pastor. Pray that you would continue to bless us in this new year, Father. Help us to do your will and to do a greater work here, Father. And we just thank you for that you've done, for that you're doing, for that you're going to do. For it's in Christ's name. Amen.